We're in Mark chapter 2, and I brought my Bible today.
Amen.
You know, normally I don't bring my Bible. I just read off my phone. We in Mark chapter 2, verses 1. When you get there, you can say, I got it.
I got it.
All right. And we're going to read to verse 12. I'm reading through the New Living Translation. Everybody got it?
Amen.
All right, so it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your heart? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. And Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and bounce. Now he said, go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers.
Yeah.
They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, would you help me to deliver this thing with some clarity and with some power? Just like the end of the chapter where it says they were all amazed and they praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this. God, I pray that after this sermon is preached, we'd be able to say, we ain't never seen nothing like this. So Lord, I pray that we all grow from this. God, strengthen us. Shape our perspectives in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. So, I got a dog. Her name is Lucy. Right? And you know what's interesting about my dog, though, is like when me and Ashley wanted to get a dog before, right? But a month into our marriage, I just called it off. I was like, yeah, this ain't working, right? And so thank God I'm still here, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. I called it off a month in. I was like, I don't want to be married no more, right? And so thank God that I'm still alive.
Amen.
Because she ain't killed me, right? Right, and so during this time, I was like, you know what? My heart is broken. I'm going through it, so I'm going to get me a dog. All right? So I got me a dog. And we ended up getting back together a week later. I didn't even have enough time to name this dog. So eventually I gave the dog away because what he represented, basically. She was supposed to fill the void of Ashley being gone. Right, and so I was heartbroken for my dog, man, crying real man tears, real thug tears, because I gave my dog up. And so we went to Walmart one day, and we saw some puppies, and this is how we got Lucy right here. Right, and the irony of that, though, is I didn't really want a dog. Right? I was like, my heart's still broken, I want no more dogs. But Ashley, she was wanting to give me a dog, because she wanted me to get over the other dog, right? And so we ended up with a dog that neither one of us wanted. But now, now the dog is family. We've had the dog for 3 years. But basically, my point is, my dog, she sings when I sing. If you follow like my Facebook, you'll see my dog, she howls when I sing. This is no lie, right? I was singing in my room because I got a little home studio. I'm singing, and I notice my dog is howling. It's like, man, Lord, you didn't give me a dog. I can't even sing in my own house because she sang louder than me. Right, and so sometimes I think my dog has like some human qualities, but one of the qualities that's not very good about my dog is she's a little wild, right? My dog, she likes to run. I mean, how many of you guys ever encounter like a dog that just likes to run? It's full of energy. That's my type of dog. She has a lot of energy. She likes to run, right? And so I was like, since we're going to be having a babysitter, I prolonged it long enough. I'm going to teach her how to walk on a leash. Right, because my dog is super strong, right? So when I would take her on a walk, it's not like I'm taking her on a walk. She's taking me on a walk, right? Right, because she's super strong. And so for the 2 weeks, right, I just kept going. I was like, you know what? I don't care. You might pull my arm out, and you might pull one back out. But we going to do this. I ain't going to give up, right? And so it's crazy now. She ain't all the way there yet. But she's making some progress. Right. She's starting to act a little civil. Starting to act like she got some sense. Right, she ain't fooling on it. And the praise report I got is I even went running with her on Wednesday. That is amazing. Because, man, before, I would have tripped and fell, right? Because she wants to run. She wants to sprint. She don't care about what pace I want to go. She want to run, right? And so this situation, it taught me yet again the power of persistence. The power of persistence when you don't give up, right? And so I just want to encourage you today. I ain't got a super deep message. I just want to encourage you. Don't give up. I don't know what you're going through today. Right? I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Right? In our text, we had four men, right? And they had a paralyzed man. And they said, you know what? We heard about this dude named Jesus. And so, we heard he could heal. So, we know you're paralyzed. You can't walk. So, we're going to take you to him. And we're going to hope and pray that he heals you. And so what they do, they pick the man up and say, hey man, you need to be ready by this time, put on your best clothes, right? Because we are going to see Jesus tomorrow and you're going to get healed, right? And so that's what they do. But the Bible says they could not get in the house because of the crowd, right? And here's the thing, a lot of us, that would be the end of your story right there, right? Because you encounter a challenge, you encounter an obstacle. Right, you encounter a failed attempt, right? And so that would be the end of your story. But the Bible says they could not get in the house because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof. Come on, I like these guys because they are absolutely crazy. These guys are out of their mind. Come on, who in their right mind would think, you know, we can't get through the front door? We're going to dig a hole through the roof. But these guys are crazy, right? But sometimes you got to get a little unorthodox. Sometimes you got to get a little unconventional. Sometimes you got to get out of your comfort zone and do things that you're not comfortable with, right? So that you can bring your friends to Jesus, right? So that you can accomplish what you want to accomplish, right? And I like these guys because before there ever was a bruh man from Martin, you have these four guys. Digging a hole through the roof. Like, I'm here. Right? Before there was a Santa Claus going through the roof, like the chimney, these four men were digging a hole. Can you imagine if that was your house? That might not just be like a good setup, right? Because you'd be mad. There might be some violence after. You just dug a hole through my roof. Right? But my point is, they didn't give up. They didn't give up. And a lot of us, we quit, right? Because we think it should be easy. And that's the type of society that we live in, right? You know, you can go online right now and apply for a credit card and get approved, like, right? You could be in high school, go to college. And you know what? These guys will give you a $40,000 student loan just like that to an 18-year-old. I was going online today to buy some stuff for our church, some sound stuff. It's amazing. I'm ordering stuff on Amazon, and I'm like, dude, I ain't even got to leave my house. It's going to show up right here tomorrow. Dude, that's amazing. right? And that's the type of society that we live in, right? Where things come easy. And so when things are difficult, it throws us off. It's like, wait. Right? And so we've been conditioned to think that things should be easy. As I said before, we take a lot of stuff for granted, right? Not everybody got electricity. When I went to the Philippines, right, I found out, like, man, everybody ain't living like me. Everybody don't have, right, a refrigerator and a freezer, right? Everybody don't have AC in their house, right? And so a lot of these things, these things are provided to us very easily, right? Even if you're broke, you're still able to afford a house with some AC in it, right? With a refrigerator, with some food, right? So we take clean water for granted, right? We take our homes for granted that are built very nice, right? And we're blessed. And we take these things for granted because they come so easily to us. But not everything is gonna be easy. And so we're a little bit spoiled. And so in the media, it shows us overnight successes sometimes, right? They'll show you, hey, this guy just became successful overnight. And it makes us think that you can accomplish something without going through anything. Yeah. That you can accomplish something, you can go get what God wants you to have and not fail at all and not go through any challenges, right? But that is not the truth. Yeah. The truth is it will get hard sometimes. That's the truth. The truth is it's going to get hard sometimes. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So let's break this down. Jesus said, you want to be a part of my squad. I want you to deny yourself. Now, how many of you guys know? It is extremely hard to deny yourself of something that you know you can have. I want that Baskin Robbins rainbow sherbet. Right, that's my stuff. Right? You know how hard it is for me to say no to myself when I can afford to have it? When I want those cookies, those chocolate chip cookies. I'm a sweets connoisseur. Anybody like sweets like me? Right? You know how hard it is to say no to yourself when you know you can have it? You know how hard it is when you browsing online and you see all of these naked people everywhere? I'm trying to keep it PG. To deny yourself when it's so easy for you to have. And Jesus said, I not only want you to deny yourself, but I want you to pick up your cross and follow me. Wait, hold up, Jesus. Wait, hold up, right? You tell me to pick up my cross. The cross is what you were executed on. Wait, this cross is what you carry to be executed, to be killed. They put nails and hands in your feet right there on the cross. You are telling me you want me to deny myself and take up my cross. I believe Jesus is saying, essentially, it's going to be hard sometimes. Jesus says, you in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. You know, he didn't say you might have some trouble. You may have some trouble. You know, it's not like the weatherman. Weatherman say, there's going to be a 20% chance of rain today. There's going to be a 10% chance of rain. There's going to be a 50% chance of rain. No, Jesus is saying, the storm is coming. The rain is coming. The tornado is coming. The flood is coming. But take heart. Be courageous, because I've overcome the world. But see, the devil, his job is to kill, steal, and to destroy. Right? And so the last thing that he wants to see you do is become all that he created you to be. Right? Because he knows that if you become all that God created you to be, it's going to make him look good. And more people are going to follow him. And so the devil, he's going to put obstacles in your path. He's going to put difficult things in your path, right? He's going to put some things that are hard in your path, and he's going to make you want to quit sometimes. And he's going to keep coming. You notice that in the Bible, the devil, the Bible says that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Now, how many of you guys want to be led into the wilderness, right? Right, where there is no water, it's burning hot, right? The Bible says the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And what's interesting, though, is the devil hit Jesus with three different temptations. He didn't hit him with the same ones. First, he said, Jesus is fasting for 40 days, right? And the devil, he sees some stones. He said, Jesus, why don't you go ahead and turn those stones into bread? He's basically like, dude, you should interrupt your fast. Stop focusing on God. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? And then the Bible says the devil took him up to the highest point of the temple and said, jump. Totally different temptation, right? And Jesus says, don't test the Lord your God. And then the Bible says the devil took Jesus on a high mountain, right? And he told him, here are all the kingdoms of the world. I will give them to you. And to me, this is the most difficult one, because here Jesus is denying himself. He's been fasting. And here the devil said, dude, I'll give you everything that you want. You ain't got to starve no more. And Jesus says, what does he say? Right, Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God only. But the devil, he's going to keep on coming. He's going to keep on coming. I don't even understand this text all the way. But here's the thing. Jesus says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept and in order. And the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. Right? And so you might give up on the first try, but the devil is not. You might give up when you fail, but I can assure you that the devil is not. He gonna keep coming back. He's going to keep coming back, and he's going to keep coming back. The Bible says put on the full armor of God, right? Why? Because you are in a battle.
Yeah.
You are in a fight.
Right. Yeah.
And you will fail sometimes.
Yeah.
Let me take it back. You will fail a lot of times. Right? And so we need to change our perspective on failure. Right? I just want to encourage you today, through your failures, to keep going.
Yes.
To not give up, right? When you can't get through the front door, dig a hole through the roof, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Failing is a part of the process to succeed.
Amen.
I used to think that failing was bad. It was the last thing I ever wanted to do. The last thing I ever wanted to do was fail, right? Because when I was younger, if I got an F on my test, you know what's going down, right? I'm going to get it when I go home. And rightfully so. But failing, it made me think I was a failure. And it made me feel like I was taking 10 steps backwards. See, but I've realized that failing is not bad at all. It's actually good. Failing is not the opposite of success. It's actually a part of success. You know, when a baby comes out of the womb, nobody's mad that that baby can't walk. Like, little Johnny, you've been here 2 days on this earth, and you can't walk? What is wrong with this baby? Right? Nobody does that, right? You know that the baby has to go through a process to walk, right? First, you're going to carry the baby. Then you might put the baby on the ground. They're going to start crawling. They're going to start standing. They're going to fall again, right? They're going to try to hold on to somebody else, right? There's a process. They have to fall sometimes. You know, nobody comes, like, if you're a little baby, nobody's mad at you because you can't read, right? Nobody's mad that you can't read because there's a process that you have to go through to be able to read. And so we need to change our perspective on failing. Right, and so here's my illustration. See, here's the reason why I didn't want to fail. Because when I thought I failed, it felt like I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 steps backwards. Yeah. Right? It felt like I'm taking 10 steps backwards. So anytime I try to make progress, I'm like, Lord, look how far I came. So you imagine if I try again and I fail, I'm going 10. Yeah. I'm going back even more. Right? And so it made me afraid to fail because it felt like, dude, I'm just going to be way back there farther than when I started. Failing is taking one step forward, actually. Right? Every time that you fail, you ain't taking 10 steps backwards. You're taking one step forward. One more step forward, because you guys know that it's just as important to know what not to do as it is to know what to do. Right, Thomas Edison said that, you know, I haven't failed. I just found out 10,000 ways that don't work. Right, so it's just like my marriage, right? There was no way in my mind that we could be going through so much crap and my relationship be ordained by God. I couldn't grasp that. How could I be failing so much? Lord, I've got to be crying my eyes out in front of this girl. Right? How can I fail so much and my relationship be ordained by you? How could this be something that you want me to do? Right? But every time I fail, every time we had a bad argument, no, that's just one more step forward into a good marriage, right? Every time, right, that we just have a terrible argument that just feels like we are two worlds apart, it's actually one step forward. It ain't 10 steps backward. It's one step forward, right? And when we got into a physical altercation, right? I'm just keeping it real. We get into a physical altercation, right? I landed in a holding cell. Can I tell you that was a major step forward? That was a major step forward. Why? Because it taught us what not to do, and it forced us to get counseling, which made our marriage thriving.
Amen.
Failing is not 10 steps backwards, it's a step forward.
Yeah.
I have some famous failures. People who have failed. You know, they said Oprah was not fit for television. That's crazy, ain't it? You know Michael Jordan? He wasn't accepted into his high school basketball team. You know Steve Jobs, who created Apple? He got fired from his own company. Do you know Walt Disney? There was a newspaper that said he lacked imagination.
Right.
Yeah. You know Albert Einstein couldn't speak until he was 4 years old? Everybody fails. But if you quit, that's it, right? But if you choose to keep going, it's a step forward, right? Did you know Shaq? Tall as he is, when he was in high school, he couldn't dunk. How in the world does that work? Don't put a period in your life where God wants to put a comma. Right? What does a period do? It's, right? It signifies the end. Right? Jack and Jill went up the hill. Period. Right? I lost my job. Period. I lost my mind, period, right? I lost the game, period. I got sick, period. I ate a cookie, period. I failed my test, right? But what does a comma do? Right, it says there's more to the story. There's something else coming, right? So let's just practice. I got sick, comma, but I got healed, right? I failed my test, comma, but I was so depressed, comma, but I feel better now, right? They crucified Jesus, comma, but somebody can get excited about that. Paul said, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. In other words, he's saying, I might be down, but I'm not out.
Yeah.
We may have failed, but we are not giving up. Right. Is there a period in your life where God wants to put a comma? Have you given up on a situation that God could work out? Have you given up on a dream because you failed? Have you thrown in the towel on a problem that God wants to fix? God can turn any situation around if you let him.
Amen.
Romans 8:28, all things work together for God. They love God and are called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
There is nothing off limits from the comma.
Yeah, yeah.
Every situation can have a comma. All things can have a comma. This is good news.
Yes, it is. Yes.
This is good news.
Yeah.
They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, comma.
Yeah, yeah.
So they dug a hole through the roof. But most of us, we put a period after the crowd.
Amen.
But the miracle happened because of the comma. They didn't give up. They dug a hole through the roof. What if the movies that we watched, right, just ended after the tragedy? I went to the theater on Friday to watch The Foreigner. Jackie Chan. I love Jackie Chan. So I was like, I gotta watch. Maybe it's because I was raised in Japan. I don't know. I love Jackie Chan, so we watched it. The plot of the story, though, is his daughter, she gets caught up in a bomb explosion and dies, right? But can you imagine? The end, right after the explosion.
Mm-hmm.
You know how long that movie would have been? Like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, right? But there's a comma there, because the rest of the movie, he's trying to avenge his daughter to figure out who killed her, right? Can you imagine if you are watching The Lion King, right? And it ends right after Mufasa dies. Oh, the song, it opens. Why y'all got y'all know the song, man? Right, and then Bishop Rafiki comes through, right? He lifts him up. It's the circle of life. And then Simba says, oh, I just can't wait to be king. Right? And then Mufasa dies, the end. Come on. I would be so mad, right? That would be the worst movie ever. It just ends. Somebody. Anybody. Can you imagine if our movies that we watch ended like that? You would be mad. Why? Because there's supposed to be more to the story. And I just want to encourage you today, where have you put a period in your life where God wants to put a comma?
Amen.
Where have you failed, right, and you quit, but God wants to do something more? There is more to the story. The best is yet to come. Right? And you are going to face some obstacles. I ain't gonna, dude, it's gonna be hard sometimes.
Amen.
That's just real, right? Jesus said you're gonna have trouble.
Yeah.
Right? But don't let that stop you. Keep going. Fail forward. Keep taking a step forward. Keep taking a step forward. One more step. One more step. One more step. Guys, I'm so glad that Jesus didn't give up on us.
Amen.
When we failed him, I'm so glad, right? He didn't give up on me. I'm so glad he went all out, right? Jesus, the Bible says that he was sweating drops of blood. He did not want to die on that cross. But he said, your will be done. Right, he put a comma there, even though he didn't want to do it. He kept going. Right? And so I just want to encourage you today, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
Don't put a period in your life where God wants to put a comma. Right? And I'm going to end this sermon with Ashley telling her testimony. And it's powerful. Right? So without without further ado, Ashley's going to bring the stick, and I'm done.